Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
We'll be at Colossians chapter 1 in just a second. There's a word that's kind of been, you know, in my heart. I've read it in the scripture thousands of times, a word or a phrase, and it's never really kind of gotten my attention or kind of just popped out to me until recently, but it is the word kingdom, and also the phrase the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. How many of you kind of just read that over and over? It's just woven in scripture 72 times. The term kingdom of God is used in the New Testament 32 times. It's used, the term kingdom of heaven is used, but only in the Gospel of Matthew, which is really kind of interesting that that's the only place that term, you know, is used. So this morning, you know, I want you to kind of pull on your hat when it comes to phrases, thoughts, your mental image of the kingdom or a kingdom, because the scripture is filled with references of king, kingdom, palace, royalty, crown, throne, prince. They're used throughout scripture, maybe in ways that we don't always get. We come from a Western democratic background. Other people in the world are raised in like a monarchy where there's a king and kingdom or queen and kingdom, and they may get a little fuller, you know, when they talk about those references, they may get a little fuller picture than you and I sometimes, you know, that we do when we read those references. We don't really have the attachment, maybe the full understanding of or picture of all of, you know, what all of those phrases mean. I mean, I took world history in college and studied all the divine right monarchies. You know, Becky and I went to London about 10, 12 years ago. We went there. And then also, you know, I've watched 2 seasons of Netflix, The Crown, right? Now, I know it's not manly at all. It's not manly, but that was sermon preparation that I was doing. 3rd season's coming up, you know, coming up soon. So kind of as we walk through this, you know, this message, I want you to pull on your hat when you think of monarchy and, you know, things like that. So the scripture uses the term the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It is littered all through the New Testament, sometimes very quickly, but I think there's a fuller image that the Lord would want us to see, the scriptures would want us to see. One of those is in which that I just called out to you a little while ago, Colossians 1:13. Now look at this passage, because it gives the kingdom, the snapshot, you know, very vividly here. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So there is a description and a definition very quickly given of the kingdom. He's brought us out of the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of the sins. So when we talk this morning about the kingdom of God, 2 things I just want to remind you. Number 1 is the present kingdom of God. It is the kingdom established on earth by Christ for his church. That is the kingdom of God that exists right now. We'll talk about that in a moment. But also, at the end of the message, we will talk about the future kingdom of God, future events that will herald in the kingdom of God and its fullness. So there is the present kingdom of God right now, but there is a future kingdom of God in the fullness of the scripture that we'll talk about later. And this will give us full clarity in this picture that we want to paint in the scripture this morning. So you cannot have a kingdom without a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. So let's talk about that this morning. Jesus, our king. Now, this king, he's a little bit different than others, you know, that we've seen throughout history. The way he reigns, the way he rules is a little bit different. And we can tell by the names of scripture, it can kind of give us a definition of his kingship and or his kingdom and how he rules. Isaiah said that the government would be upon his shoulders. And then he gave this description. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And there's a part of that description that to me, when I say he's a different king, that stands out to me, and that is the Everlasting Father. So he's not a king that's come to lord and rule, but his kingdom is a little bit different because he's the Everlasting Father. So it shows some paternalistic qualities to his reign, because a Everlasting Father is one that provides for, he cares for, he gives provision. So his kingdom is just, you know, it's just a little bit different. Also, in Isaiah, there was another description of his king, of how he would rule as king, that gives us a little definition this morning. His name is Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means... You're much slower than first service. Let me just say that. They were on it. God with us, which means there is no inaccessibility to this king. There is no separation from the commoners. There's no high ruling and, you know, we're the commoners there. But this king is a little bit different because even in his name, he said he would walk and live among us. His reign would not be separate from our lives, but if we will allow him, his reign will be in our hearts and our lives every day. We can look also at another name to learn about Jesus our King, and it's the name Jesus, you know, itself. The angel said, "You will call his name Jesus," and I love this description. "He will save his people from their sins." So his reign is different. It's not about money. It's not about power. When they said, "Man, who should we pay taxes to?" He said, "Give the taxes to Caesar." So his reign is not about money. It's not about prominence. Man, can I tell you this morning that his reign, he wants to cleanse and renew and generate your heart. This is a different king that's ever lived upon the face of the earth. The angel said this about him, giving full clarity to our thought this morning. It said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So when we look at our king, he is a saving king. He is a redeeming king. That is the present king that we live in, the present kingdom that we live in. His followers did not really get that this was a spiritual kingdom, because on two incidences, they thought that he would become a political king and throw off Rome, but that was not his purpose or intention to rule and reign as a political leader. He wants to be the king of our hearts. He wants to sit upon the throne of our hearts. That's the ultimate king that he wants to be. That's why the angel said, "This is good news. It's good news. This is good news. It'll be to all people." So his kingdom shall be marked that he wants to reign in the hearts of men and women. He doesn't want to sit on the seats of power in Washington and around the world. So that's a little about Jesus, our King. But there's another part that's really important to really kind of get the glimpse of the type King that he is. He traded a throne for a cross. He traded a throne for a cross. So the book of Psalms said that he was sitting in his throne in the pre-eternal time, and the earth was his footstool. I mean, he's ruling and he's reigning. But there's no way to get redemption, to get transformation. There's no way to get that from heaven to here unless he did what he did. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us a little bit more about his reign as King. Hebrews 12 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That tells you about him. Man, he had it made. But how does salvation get here? How does life transformation get here? It doesn't without the person of Jesus. So it said, for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him. There was something in his heart about redeeming his people and saving his people that made him smile, that he saw joy in the mission, even though he knew that he would endure pain and scorn. There was still joy in the mission for him because he could redeem all of mankind. And then it said, once he's done, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he left his throne, came down here, suffered unimaginable, torture and heartache. God blessed him and exalted him back, and now he rules on the throne again. But he traded a throne for the cross. Even at the end of his life, man, he had this quality of kings, this quality of king that his disciples saw in him, and they kept trying to promote him as king, but it brought scorn upon him at the very end of his life on the earth. Remember what they did. Are you the King of the Jews? They took they formed and fashioned a crown of thorns. They took a robe of purple and put upon him. They gave a scepter to kind of make fun of this king. Behold, the King of the Jews. And then in maybe one last final, kind of twist on the irony of that picture, the inscription above the cross said, King of the Jews. I want to tell you something this morning. He may not have looked like a whole lot when he left this earth the first time, but he has not made his last appearance on this earth. And I promise you, when he comes back again, he'll look a whole lot different. He'll look a lot different. So that's our king. That's our king. It's not a kingdom that's separate. It's a kingdom of our hearts. He wants to be in our hearts. So the kingdom, how do you get in? What are the qualifications? Is it like anything else? Money, connections, good deeds? Is it just like anything else? If you got a little money, if you know someone, you're in? I told you this is a different kingdom. This is a different kingdom. So he tells us clearly. John chapter 3, look at this. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. You can't get into this kingdom. Money, good deeds, connections. You can't do it. Now, who did he say this to? He said it to Nicodemus, who was a man that had money. He had connections. He was well-to-do. And he just let him know up front, this kingdom is not about that. Your money perishes at the gate of heaven. Your connections, your good deeds will never be enough. He said, this kingdom is about being born again. It is a regeneration of the heart. He used the explanation, you know how you're born of woman. This will be being born of spirit, being born again, having a new birth in their life. So how do you get in? It's being born again. How do you get in the kingdom of God? It's being born again. And then he gives some other ways that we can kind of clarify this kingdom. It said from the time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. So he's clarifying this just a little bit, talking about the kingdom, because sometimes people, when they think about becoming a follower of Jesus, they grab all of their old baggage from their previous life, all of their present bad decisions, then they grab Jesus and God's word, and they're trying to live a life where they hold it all. And I want to tell you, that will be the most frustrating life that you ever try to live, when you're trying to do everything the world says to do and everything God says to do. So Jesus clarifies it, and he said, if you want to follow me, man, you repent. You repent. So you give the old stuff, if you're really serious. You give that old life, that old system, those old values. You give that up, and you totally turn to make Jesus number one, and you live for Jesus. And that's the only way. That's the only way to repent, and you come to the kingdom of God. So that's another way that he brings clarity. You got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. You got to repent to be a part, to be in this kingdom. Then he says something else, gives further clarity. I love it. Matthew 7. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What? That's disappointing, isn't it? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Wow! Now that's different. That's different because he says this relationship is not about show. It's not about lip service. It's not just about coming to church so that people can see you and identify you with the church. It's not about church attendance. It's not about just singing songs. But he said, you know, for those that will not enter the kingdom of heaven will be those that just, you know, that say, Lord, Lord. But he said, those that do the will of my Father. Okay? So it's not about a show. It's not about putting on a show. Can I tell you? You can fool everybody in here, but God knows your heart. It's about living out the purposes of Jesus. It's about following God's word. He said it's going to be those folks that will enter the kingdom of heaven, not those who just profess, and that is, you know, that's all that they do. So he's clarifying the kingdom of God. It's born again. It's repentance, turning from our old life. It's about living out, having a living and active faith, not just coming and singing a few songs on Sunday. Then he gives one last kind of qualification here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's discouraging, okay? That'd be tough, but let me tell you the problem with that. Those that are wealthy sometimes, they trust in their wealth, and they trust in the things that they own. They think that's the success of life. Now, let me tell you, I've seen wealthy people who love God and serve God. You know, there's no doubt about it, but sometimes, you know, when we're wealthy, we've got money. We're trying to work our way up the ladder a little bit. Our life becomes about possessions and owning certain possessions. And if we're not careful, those things can trip you up. And I want to tell you, I don't care how much is in your bank book. That can happen to anyone. That can happen to anyone that we just start focusing more on climbing the corporate ladder, getting the next promotion, what's in my 401k, what do I own, what do I need, and all of a sudden it becomes very, you know, our life becomes very clouded, becomes very polluted and unfocused. So he's reminding us, you got to be born again, you got to repent, you got to be having an active and living faith, but you also, man, there's got to be some clarity in your life to the things that you have, you know, in your particular life. So that's kind of the qualifications. You can't pay your way in. You big FSU donors, man, you just write the big check and you're sitting on the 50-yard line, right? Not in heaven. Not in heaven. It doesn't work on the point system, can I tell you? All right? What else does the Bible say about the kingdom? What else does the Bible say about the kingdom? It's a different kind of kingdom. I want to remind you about that. All right? Here's what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is not about the rich and famous and those that have it all together. He said the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven is for those who are poor in spirit. So, man, if you're here today, man, and you're brokenhearted, or you've been neglected, or you've been abused, or you've been hurt in your life, someone has taken advantage of you. You're, like right now, you're kind of crushed in your heart. You don't feel like you have a lot to offer. Jesus is reminding you today that the kingdom of heaven is yours. He did not say anything about royalty or prince or princesses, you know, being a part of this kingdom. He said this kingdom is for those who are poor in spirit. Is that you this morning? Man, that's God's word. Man, that's God's word of hope to you. He gives us clarity. It's a different kingdom. Whoever practices, Matthew 5:19, whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of God. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great, you know, in the kingdom of God. Now listen, practices those commands, because sometimes people get the wrong idea about living out God's word. When you come to Jesus and you serve him joyfully, living out the precepts of this book is not depression. Sometimes we look at that and go, that's just sad. I can't do that. I can't do that. But do you know something, that when you've really kind of given your heart over to Jesus, there is a joy from being able to live out what is in this book. We don't look at this book and go, man, we sure are missing a lot. But there's something that happens when you give your heart over to Jesus, where you want to serve him and you want to live out God's word. You know, some people, they look at this book kind of like my kids when I go, hey, take out the trash. Oh, Lord. It's like a sentence to them. All right? That's how people look at God's word sometimes with depression. But he said, you want to find the kingdom of God? It are those that practice the teachings and also teach. Those of you that teach, there's a blessing for you. Those of you that do Wednesday nights and you do Sundays and you do all those things, there's a blessing for you. He said the kingdom of God is for those that practice and that teach those commands will be called great in the kingdom of God. And then look at this last, you know, it's like, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet. Remember that story? It's a different kingdom. It's a different kingdom. So remember the story that initially all of the invitations went out to all of those that were well-connected and all those that were well-to-do. And then they said no. They didn't have time for it. So the king comes back and he reissues the invitation and says, hey, go to the highways and the hedges. It doesn't matter. Anybody that wants to come. I'm telling you this morning, this is a different kingdom. The value system of this kingdom is not set up on how much money you have or how many good deeds you've done. The value system is, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Jesus loves you, and there's a place at the banquet for you at the head table. I love that about that kingdom. If you're poor and broken, this is your invitation. That you're welcome here. We feel like we got to pull our lives together sometimes, that our lives are too broken at the moment. Let me kind of pull it back together a little bit and I'll give it to Jesus. Jesus said, no, bring it all. Bring all the broken pieces. Don't try to piece it back together. Just bring it. That's his invitation. So in the kingdom, is there a palace and a throne? If so, how do I get there? All right, so we talked about the present kingdom. Let's look at the future kingdom one day. Is there a palace and a throne? You better believe there's a palace and a throne. And it's much better than Disney World, can I tell you that? And much cheaper, can I tell you that? So here's what Jesus says about the future kingdom. John chapter 14 and 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That is a significant passage of scripture that Jesus gave. All right? So a lot of you, you've been around the church a long time. When I talk to you about the coming of the Lord, the future kingdom, you kind of know what that is, but there's a lot of people that are new. They're new to faith. We've got some great college students. So let me just take a moment and what things to know about the coming of the Lord. Things to know about the coming kingdom, all right? So through this passage that we just read, we see that Jesus has been preparing a place for us for over 2,000 years. Now I say he's done pretty good with this earth in 7 days. 2,000 years, it's going to be spectacular. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when he left earth over 2,000 years ago, part of what he's doing is preparing for the future kingdom, okay? Now, out of John 14, so here's something else I want you to see. He's coming back for his followers. So look what he said. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me. You may also be where I am. So he's saying there's a day. There's a day that's marked, and you can read other passages in the New Testament, but there's a day that is marked when Jesus will come back and get his church, okay? He's going to appear in the sky. It's going to be one of the most unbelievable things that you've ever seen, but that is the promise that he's given, that he's coming back for his followers. Something else, all right? Something else. We don't know when he's coming back, but as with any king, listen for the trumpet. Listen for the trumpet. As the scripture says, you will know the coming of the Son of Man because there is a trumpet that will precede the king, which happens at almost every appearance for royalty. But here's the thing. We don't know exactly when it is. He said on multiple occasions, no man knows the day nor the hour when the coming of the Son of Man shall be. So you know what we need to do? We need to live for Jesus every day. We need to wake up every morning with the expectation that this could be the day that Jesus comes back and gathers his church. Now, if you really want to get in a little deeper, there are all kinds of hints and signs of his return. I'm not going to go through those this morning, but throughout the scripture, he kind of points to things, and he says, when you see this, you need to watch out. When you see this, you need to watch out. My coming is close. When you witness this, you need to watch out. So if you want to dive a little deeper in the scripture, you can read some of those signs of his appearing, but I'm telling you something this morning. That is sure, as Jesus said, a man needs to be born again, and we rest our lives on that. As sure as I take and trust that, if Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you again, then you better bet your bottom dollar that he's going to carry through on that promise. As much as we believe those other passages, he's coming back. He's coming back. Jesus is coming to get his church. What will it look like? What will heaven look like? We don't have like a book of heaven, okay? We just got little glimpses through the scripture. Now, let me say something. Movies and books. People that have been to heaven, you know, they've written the book. You know, read it if you want to. But just read it for curiosity, but don't read it for doctrine. Can I tell you that? There's a glimpse here. that the Lord wants us to see about the future kingdom. I'm going to read you some of that. And it's just very small, but I want you to kind of picture the future kingdom in your head. Revelation 21 says, "He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And it had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." Revelation 22:1. "The angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of that great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation." So even with small glimpses like that, man, that's glorious, but it's really kind of tough to imagine that. But Paul mentions this. He says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's not even entered into the heart of man. It's neither entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him." It's not even conceptually possible for us to imagine all that God has done, the beauty of what we will experience. What will a day in heaven, what will a day in the kingdom of heaven be like? What will that be like? Wow. You know, it kind of depends on your exit strategy. I mean, now, some will die a natural death, okay? Others will go in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to get his church. Can I tell you which one I want? One scares me, the other one's just pretty cool, all right? I just preach that so much, man. I'd love to be in that moment and be caught up in the clouds and then boom, wow, it's over. In 1 second, the Lord comes back. We stand in his presence. Man, what an experience that will be. And he says, no man knows that day nor the hour. So what happens when we get to heaven? We get a new home. We get a new home starting with a new body. How many of you are of the age that when you get up in the morning, it sounds like a fireworks show when you get up? We're groaning. We can't even have breakfast till we take 3 ibuprofen just to get going in the morning. Can I tell you, that old body's done away with. All of our deficiencies down here, they'll be done away with. We will leave this earth. We'll leave this earth behind and we'll exchange it for the place that Jesus has been preparing for 2,000 years. That's not a bad exchange, right? It's not a bad exchange. What will heaven be like? What will the kingdom be like? We'll be reunited with our loved ones. Man, won't that be great? How many of you got somebody waiting on you over in heaven, peering over? Won't that be great on your first day, man, just to hug, just to love, just to spend a few moments with people that we've lost that are in heaven? We've wept tears at funerals and at caskets, but there's a day that we'll be reunited. Won't that be a great day? And for some of your families, they'll be in shock that you made it. Oh my God, they made it. Oh, they made it. Come over here. Take a look at them. They made it. We'll be reunited with our loved ones. That'll be great. That'll be great. We will see people from every nationality and language worshiping God. For those of you who love missions, man, that's your payday right there. We say that God blesses missions givings here, but there's no better payday than to see that passage lived out. And I'll read that to you. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They're wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hand. Won't that be a great sight for those of you that have given to missions and you've prayed for missions? Some of you have traveled around the world and you built churches for missions. Man, won't that be a moment? That's a great payday right there. And all of a sudden, in that moment, you'll realize that you know Spanish, because Spanish is the language of heaven. We've been faking it, counting to three in Spanish for years. Now we'll know the real thing. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, what will it be like? The scripture says that we'll witness the singing of the angelic choir. As we walk through heaven, there's a choir that sings. It says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We'll witness that great choir that will sing that anthem of the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm one that never likes to sign up for the choir, but I like to sing when they sing anyway. I can't help it. So if you hear a little tenor and it's off key a little bit, just know that's me. But I want to tell you something. Not only does that angelic choir have a song to sing, I got a song to sing too. And that song is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, who was and is to come." I want to be a part of that crowd. But when that choir gets through singing, the Bible says those that sing in that angelic choir, they take their crowns, because even singing they feel unworthy, and they throw their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know that I'll have a crown to throw, but if I have anything to give back to Him, in that moment I'll offer that to Him in worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. But the best part about our first day in the kingdom, our first day in heaven, is still to come. Revelation chapter 21, it says, "This city," Brent, worship team, you guys can come. "This city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. He will wipe every tear from their eyes." Get that. Get best part of heaven here. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Revelation 23, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." So it's kind of like, I mean, you're walking through this progression of heaven, and then you find yourself standing in the presence of Jesus. Because our whole lives we've lived lives of faith. Never saw Him. I've prayed to Him. Held His hand. But I've never seen Him. I've encouraged people, "Hang in, don't give up. Don't give up." But I've never seen Him. Never seen Him with my eyes. But there's a day that comes. There's a day that comes that it's not a walk of faith anymore, but it's walk of sight. The Bible says that every eye shall see Him, and it'll be in that moment that the passage in the New Testament, you know, comes about. It said, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to God the Father." Oh my goodness, that'll be great. Curse of sin is removed. The crippling sin that came in Genesis is now removed. No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. No more grieving. No more funerals. It's over. It's had its run here. No more cancer. No more diseases. No more hunger. No more poverty. No more sex trafficking. It's all over. It's all done. We're in a new kingdom. We're in a new order here. That curse has been done away with. All of that's over. We live our life accustomed to the impact of the curse, but there's a day that Jesus takes that away and we see him face to face. That's going to be a great day. That's going to be a great day. Can I tell you this morning, if you're here, I want to read you this passage. I want to read you this passage again. It says, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin." That's it. It's a kingdom of redemption. It's a kingdom of salvation. That's what gets you in. That's what all the blessing and the inheritance that we talked about this morning, that's where it's at. And if you're here today, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away from your relationship with God. Can I just remind you that it's not a kingdom for the affluent? It's for anyone that says, "Man, I want Jesus as Lord. I just open my heart up to Jesus." That's it. That's it. And in a moment, we're gonna pray. I'm gonna give you an opportunity. Maybe if you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe your relationship with God is cold right now. I want to tell you there's a kingdom that he wants you to be involved with right now. But there's a kingdom that's coming that we want to prepare our hearts for today. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand? I'll just bow your heads with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you're here today, you're not sure about your walk with God, you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus, maybe you walked away from God, made some mistakes in your past, it really doesn't matter, because that doesn't disqualify you for the kingdom of heaven. And if you're here today, you'd say, "Pastor, hey, I need to make things right with the Lord this morning. Would you just do me a favor really quick? Just raise your hand up and down. Let me just see your hands across. I want to pray for you this morning. Not sure about your walk with God. Not sure about your faith. Thank you. Thank you. It's not sure. You want to give your heart over to Jesus this morning. Best decision you'll ever make. Another moment. There are others to say, "Pastor, pray for me this morning. I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I'm not ready for this coming kingdom. I'm not ready. I'm not ready." There are others out here today. You've been walking through a really difficult time in your life. And man, you just, is it worth it? You're just thinking, is it worth it? Just need some strength to hold on at the end. But I want to tell you, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So man, hang in. Hang in. Hang in this morning. Say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm just going through a lot. Just thought about quitting. Thought it's not worth it." I'm reminding you, it is.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.